I think one of the best ways to learn about Jesus is to follow in his steps. You know, many of the examples that we have of Jesus' interaction are found in the Gospels. And this evening, for a few minutes, I'd like to invite your attention to one of the occurrences in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus, after having had a very busy career of healing, now comes back home, having been over to the Decapolis area where he has healed the Gergesene demonic, comes back to Capernaum, his hometown, and there, of course, he is immediately met by a man by the name of Jairus, or his servants, who want him to come to their home and heal his daughter. Now, really what you have here in Luke, the 7th chapter, or the 8th chapter, is really a miracle within a miracle. You have Jesus headed to the home of Jairus to heal his 12-year-old daughter, and on the way, you have him encountering a woman who has an issue of blood and has had that issue for 12 years. And it's that lady that I want to focus on for a few moments this evening, because I think there's so much we can learn about not only our Savior, but also about her faith. I think what we're going to see this evening is that the faith of this woman that ultimately brought about her healing was an active faith. And yet there's so many other lessons. And so what I want to do to you, with you tonight, is simply go to the text and in an expository fashion, begin with verse 40 and look, as we have time, down through about verse 48. Now, some of this is preliminary, so perhaps we won't spend much time on it. But again, Jesus has been over in the Decapolis area. He has healed the Gergesene demonic. He now comes back to Capernaum. And so it says in verse 40 in Luke, the 8th chapter, "So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was the ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter of 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him." I want to stop right there and just kind of set the scene. Now, Jesus is in Capernaum. Capernaum is not a large town. But in the ancient times, of course, even the bigger towns had very narrow streets. And of course, it wasn't designed for the automobiles and the traffic that we have today. So basically, between homes and between shops, there were just little footpaths. And when a crowd began to follow Jesus, they literally began to squeeze him or throng him. And of course, Jesus was being jostled and bustled and in the midst of a mob. And as he was basically being pushed down the street, we find that there is a woman that's going to come up from behind and touch him. It says a woman in verse 43, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by him, came from behind and touched him. You know, we have to kind of put ourselves, I believe, into the footsteps or into the shoes of this woman. You know, I think we have to remember, too, under what law they lived. You know, this woman had an issue of blood. She had a hemorrhaging type of illness. And without going into the specifics of that, she was an individual who of the Mosaic law and the Levitical system would have considered an outcast. In fact, if you go back to Leviticus, the 15th chapter, verse 19, this woman had no right really to even be in public. She would be unclean, and anyone who touched her or whom she touched would be unclean as well. And so here is a woman that for 12 years should not have been able to go out to the market. She should not have been able to go to the temple. She should not have been able to have any relations with her family in a normal way. And yet she braves the social stigma and, yes, even the religious stigma by getting out and trying to find Jesus in the crowd this day. You know, the ancient methods of healing, unlike ours today, were very crude. In fact, you read some of the commentaries, and some of the cures for this sort of thing would be to set the woman at a crossroads with a jar of liquid in her hand, and then have someone come unbeknownst to her behind her and to scare her to death, so to speak. And this was to drive away, of course, the flux or the illness. And so many of these things were nothing more than just basically techniques of a witch doctor. You know, when I read these things, it reminds me of what Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn did. You remember, you know, there's that story of them being in the graveyard and trying to cure warts. And, you know, there's that cat that comes into play where, you know, Tom tells Huck to say this incantation, He said, there's going to be a devil come along about midnight to collect the corpse. And what you need to say is, devil follow corpse, cat follow devil, warts follow cat, I'm done with you. And then that will fetch the warts. Well, you know, we just laugh at that. And of course, Mark Twain was a master at taking culture of his day and weaving it into his stories. But this was the type of medical advice that this woman had spent her entire living upon. She was at her last hope. And I don't know whether she had heard about Jesus. I don't know whether she had met someone who had been healed by Jesus. I don't know if maybe she had seen him perform a miracle. Jesus based his ministry in Capernaum. We simply don't know. But there was something in this lady that drove her to come through the crowd and touch Jesus, knowing and realizing that Jesus was her only and last hope. Well, of course, she comes from behind. She touches his garment. And immediately, it says, her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? Now, you know, that's a very interesting question, because obviously Jesus is literally being squeezed. In fact, he's being suffocated in this mob. And yet this woman touches and Jesus says, who touched me? That must have seemed like a very ridiculous question to those who stood around, including the apostles, because Peter, as he often was, the spokesperson, stands up and he says, Master, you know, the multitude throngs you and presses you, and you say, who touched me? You know, it's sort of a no-brainer. Everyone's touching you, is what Peter is saying. Well, you know, of course, what Jesus was saying was, who touched me in faith? Who touched me and understood the power that I have? Who touched me and understood that they could be cured and could be healed by what I and only I possess? You see, there were hundreds in the audience that day. There were many who could look at Jesus, but they didn't really believe in him. There were many, of course, who probably had even seen his miracles, but their faith was non-existent. This woman, in spite of the stigma that she had, came up from behind, and yes, probably with a little bit of embarrassment. Probably with a little bit of fear that she would be rejected, touched Jesus on the hem of his garment, knowing that his power could save. Well, Jesus turns to Peter in the audience. He says, somebody touch me, for I perceive power going out of me. You know, Jesus was the Son of God. He was God incarnate. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. And Jesus had power, the power of deity. He had the power of God. And when that power was tapped into, when it was utilized, Jesus knew it. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus came and with his power demonstrated God? You know, in John the 14th chapter, on one occasion the apostle said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, of course, that's in many ways that when we look at Jesus, even today through eyes of faith, we see God the Father. But nonetheless, the miracles and the power that Jesus demonstrated and exuded in his ministry shows us the ultimate almighty power of God who created the heavens and the earth. God is a creator God. God is power. And Jesus, of course, felt some of that power go from him and heal this woman. Well, let's notice the reaction of this woman. She knows she has been found out. Perhaps she thought she could just come up and very quietly touch the hem of his garment and be healed and then just sort of melt back into the crowd. But Jesus, of course, doesn't allow that. Jesus is going to use this woman, this example, as a great testimony of faith. Now, ultimately, the miracles that we have recorded in the scriptures are written, as John says, so that we might believe. So that we might have faith, so that we might understand that what is written is truly the word of God. But Jesus uses this woman's actions also, I think, to demonstrate something great in that day as well. This woman now has been found out. And she comes to Jesus in verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. And she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason that she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. You know, there's something here that I think is remarkable about this woman. You know, I mentioned that faith is always an active faith. In fact, Hebrews, the 11th chapter, that great catalog of faith. In every example, you'll find that by faith, those individuals, men and women, did something. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac. By faith, this. By faith, that. Faith is really a verb. It's really an action. This woman demonstrated that, but she also is humble. She comes to Jesus and she falls down at his feet, trembling, and she is unafraid to make known to those there at that scene why it was that she had this faith in Jesus. She had been, again, plagued with illness for years. She was poverty-stricken. She had given everything up to these quack doctors, and now the last hope, and yet the one that she knew apparently could heal her, is the one then that she falls before, the Son of God, deity incarnate, and there she begins to pour out her heart, probably in fear of what Jesus will say. You know, one of the things I think is so marvelous about the Master is that when we come to him and we pour out our heart in fear, when we pour out our heart in faith, when we pour out our heart, Jesus listens. Jesus so often, many times, yes, while he would rebuke the apostles, for example, in the boat, while the waves were tempestuous and while they were about to sink, and he would say, "Oh, you of little faith," he comforted them as well. And we find here that as this woman falls before Jesus, and as she again comes trembling at his feet, no doubt wondering what this rabbi of the north would say, he says this, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Now this evening we're not basing any point of salvation on this verse of being saved by faith only. We understand that faith, as I've mentioned, is always active. But in this case, and early being under the old law, her faith motivated her to do those things that led her to the healing that she received. But I want to focus again on what Jesus says to her. He says, "Daughter." You know, this term of relationship, that's a term of love, that's a term of concern. You know, Jesus reaches out to her as a fellow Jew, as a fellow Israelite, and says, "Daughter." He gives to her, again, comfort. He doesn't scold her, but he comforts her in having exercised this magnificent and marvelous faith that now had made her whole. He says, "Be of good cheer." Literally in the Hebrew, it's the word shalom. Be of good cheer, peace. Peace be upon you. Jesus is not angry having used his power for this woman. No, his power was designed to help those around him, and that's exactly what he did. And you know, likewise today, the power of Jesus, yet in a spiritual way, is designed to help us spiritually, is it not? Jesus speaks peace to us, shalom. That's what the word means. And so Jesus now, as he looks down at this woman, says, "Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace." I want to make four or five different little points from this story this afternoon. The story itself is wonderful. The story itself really needs no explanation. But I think there are four or five things that we can learn from this story that demonstrate to us the character and the nature of Jesus and this woman, but also tell us something about who we need to be as well. First of all, this woman was in pain. This woman for 12 years had suffered at the hands of her family and her friends, perhaps, and no doubt the doctors. She was in pain. And you know, I think there is a lesson perhaps here in that in our pain, God can find opportunity. You know, Jesus had the power to heal this woman. This woman was in pain, and it's in that painful time that this woman sought out Jesus Christ. You know, perhaps we don't like pain. I don't. Perhaps we don't like sadness and sorrow, but can you imagine a life without it? You know, so many people come to me and come to you perhaps, and they say, you know, if God is really God, why is there suffering in the world? Well, first of all, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where sin has brought the degrading consequences from the garden on. And so, naturally, there is a separation from God and his goodness and the tree of life and all of those things, again, that would bring wholeness, both physically and spiritually. But let's think about this. In our pain, are we not brought closer to God? In our pain, are we not focused upon what is outside of our pain? You know, really, pain is a focus on self. But it's when we reach outside of ourselves and look to God that we can find at least solstice for our pain. We can find solace for our pain. That's what this woman does. She reaches outside of herself to touch the Master, even the hem of his garment. Her faith caused her to reach out. God can use our pain. He can use our suffering. He can use the death around us. He can use all of those troubles and trials and difficulties, much as he did with the apostles in the seas and the storms that they encountered, to show his real power. You remember the night when they were in the boat back to the Sea of Galilee. And the storm arose and they're being tossed and Jesus comes walking on the water. See, that was a terrible time for those apostles, but Jesus used that to demonstrate his power over nature and also ultimately to demonstrate his love for those who thought they were about to sink and perish. So God can use the opportunity of our pain to draw us closer to him. Number two, many encounter, but few touch. You know, there were many in that crowd that day, but this woman was the one that reached out. And then I'll leave you with one final comment, and that is, when we have Jesus at our fingertips and when we touch him, there is joy and he speaks peace to us. Thank you.